A scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, and then 15 through 22. It can be found on page 22 and 23 of your Pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Let the church say, Amen. Today is the first Sunday. The first Sunday that it is not, and will not be anytime soon again, Pastor Keith in this pulpit. And I would imagine that that's a hard thing for many of us. It makes us remember the past, while at the same time we may find our minds wandering into the future in worry, in wonder. And I think both of those things are okay and are actually really healthy. This church is facing something big, right? A transition that will change who you are as individuals and as a congregation. And at a time like this, thinking about the past and wondering about the future, while somehow trying to still be here in the present, it's to be expected. And as we find ourselves in that space today, I'd like us to talk a little bit about Abraham, because I think that that reading from Genesis and a reading I'll share a little later from Romans, I think they speak very relevantly to the past and the present and the future. And when I first read this passage, I saw it, of course, through my lens of my experiences. And it made me think of two separate things that are still connected: the past, present, and future of Ronhurst Turning Point, and the past, present, and future of this congregation. But before we go any further, I have a question for you. What would your reaction be if I predicted, with certainty, mind you, that the Phillies were going to win the World Series this year? Yeah, I heard that laughter. I think there were a couple of eye rolls out there, right? Because if you follow baseball at all, you know that while they're better than they have been, they are not going to win the World Series this year. All odds are against it, and I think many of us would say that would be an impossible feat. And so you're right to laugh at that statement. But yet, if you're a Phillies fan, there's this small, tiny, hidden away part of you that you won't even own up to that still kind of clings on to that hope, right? Maybe. Well, just maybe. We all have experiences like this, when something seems totally impossible and crazy and ridiculous even, that all we can do is laugh in disbelief. And Abraham had that experience. Abraham laughs in disbelief at the seemingly impossible promises of God. In Genesis 17, we hear God make these covenantal promises with Abraham, that he would make him a father of a great nation, and that his wife Sarah would have a son. And what's Abraham's response? Abraham, one of the pillars of our faith, laughs at God. God tells him that despite his age, despite a lifetime of barrenness for Sarah, that Sarah will give him a son. This is amazing. It's unbelievable. And I think, like many of us would do, Abraham laughed. Seriously, God? I mean, seriously, a baby? That's God, that's impossible. Abraham was looking at the reality. And so he was in disbelief. It seemed ludicrous to him. Even though God had just told Abraham his plan in a good amount of detail, he couldn't comprehend it. He thought it was impossible. So much so that, did you catch that Abraham gave God a different option? A suggestion that seemed more plausible. Well, what about Ishmael, God? I've got him. That would be so much easier. And when God listens to him and hears him, God says, oh, bless your little heart, Abraham. I could do that, but I'm not going to. So what about us? When God has a plan and chooses to reveal it in part or in whole, how often do we find that we are the ones that are laughing? And I think about this in my own life. It's been true so many times. And I know from experience that there was a lot of laughter in the history of Ronhurst Turning Point, this youth center, which was birthed out of Ronhurst Presbyterian and Redemption Lutheran Church. Do any of you guys remember that? At first, it kind of made perfect sense, right? But then that warm, fuzzy glow of the initial idea wore off, and we looked at the reality, the immensity of what we were considering doing, of what God had called us into. This crazy idea to create and fund a place in our community where 6th through 12th grade youth could go to have their needs met and to meet Jesus too. And we laughed in disbelief a lot in our prayer groups and our board meetings, in conversations with others and private thoughts. When we looked at our budget and bank account, we laughed. And when we talked about recruiting volunteers and staff and students, there are still days where I look up at the heavens and I laugh a little bit at God in disbelief at how far God has already brought Turning Point, at the things God continues to do there. And I would ask, how many times over your 80-plus year life has this congregation laughed in disbelief at the seemingly impossible and unpredictable plans of God? Even in just the last few years where I have been privileged to be involved in this congregation, there has been immense change and growth and challenge, possibilities for new mission and ministry and learning. I am sure it's safe to say that there have been moments that you have laughed in seeming disbelief at God, at what we perceive to be God's crazy, ridiculous, impossible plans. I would bet, if we're honest, there's been some disbelieving laughter at session meetings and in Bible studies, in fellowship times and conversations. And when we look at the reality of where you are, of the challenges that you face, and the truth of God's enduring promises for you, I think it's natural to be a little like Abraham and to say, seriously, God? Like, really? And one of the things we learn from the story of Abraham is that it's okay to laugh a little. Abraham laughs at God not in a derogatory way, not because he's being sarcastic or mean-spirited. It's because he's simply flabbergasted. He honestly has no other reaction than this laughter that bubbles up. And God isn't angry. God isn't upset with Abraham. He engages Abraham in conversation about this new plan that he has. Even when Abraham offered this other option to God, God listened. He wasn't upset. There was conversation and talking and listening. And then Abraham actually acted in faith. He had everyone circumcised. He began living into this covenant that he didn't fully understand, but which God had promised. You see, Abraham might have laughed at first, but then he acted. He didn't let that anxious laughter hold him back. And God didn't count his anxious moments against Abraham. If we look in the book of Romans in the New Testament in chapter 4, Paul gives us a little more insight into this story when he says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was dead also. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what God had promised." Paul reminds us that while Abraham may have laughed, he didn't weaken his faith. He faced the reality and looked beyond it to see God's promise with an amazing and unshakable trust. He let his conversation with God guide his actions and strengthen his faith. At Turning Point, we laughed at God's impossible plan. And then we went ahead and did what we thought God was calling us to do anyway. It still felt crazy and impossible. It was unbelievably frightening. But we knew God was calling us forward, and so we acted. But we did this with a lot of conversation with God. As many of you know, we started a prayer group that for over 5 years guided the decisions and visions of that ministry. And especially in the early years, those times of listening and conversation with God and with one another were vital. They helped us hold firm to the faith in God's promise through times when we were looking at the reality of our situation and we were left with nothing to do but to be flabbergasted and to laugh. And like Abraham, we were called to not just face our realities, realities of financial need, the struggles of the youth with whom we worked, volunteer recruitment, community support, but to also look beyond these hard realities and to trust in the promises and provisions of God. Here at Ronhurst, you also have a deep history of being in conversation with God through prayer and worship and Sunday school and fellowship. It is who you are and what you do as a congregation. You gather in a special way to hear from God, to make requests, to give thanksgiving, and in the middle of it all, to support one another and this community that God has placed you in. And in the midst of these conversations, I am sure there have been times when God has revealed God's plan and you, like Abraham, have said, "Wait a minute, God." I'm sure that when Pastor Keith first started telling this congregation about Turning Point, that there was some laughter. I'm sure there was some laughter. And I'm guessing that when you first considered partnering your youth group with those Lutherans down the street, there was a little bit of laughter and disbelief. When you decided to serve as a host site for interfaith hospitality, when in your history you took on a massive VBS without asking for money from those who attend, when you decided to take a risk and display the memorial to the lost on your front lawn, I'm sure that at first all of those things sounded a little bit crazy. And when all is said and done, whether it's at Turning Point or here in this congregation. As people of faith, we need to continue to follow Abraham's lead and believe in the words and promises of God. Our reading in Romans tells us that Abraham saw his reality, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet he believed that God had the power to do what God had promised. For Abraham, that meant a son and the fulfillment of the covenant. What about for us? What is God's enduring promise for Turning Point and for Vonhurst Presbyterian Church? There are many, I think. But the overarching promise that I believe God is holding before us today is the covenantal promise that he made with Abraham, the one that was reflected in our call to worship that I read at the very beginning of the service, when the psalmist declares that posterity will serve God and future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Turning Point lives out that promise of proclaiming God's righteousness to a generation yet unborn. And here at Vonhurst Presbyterian, well, this congregation has been living into that promise for over 80 years through VBS and Christian education, through your worship and the sacraments, youth group, confirmation, choir, the support that you give to your missionaries, the deacons' ministry, the way you support Turning Point and Feast of Justice, countless other ways. For over 80 years, you have been telling future generations about the Lord. And while the programs have changed, and the pastors have changed, while the community around you grew from a rural farm town to a Philadelphia suburb, God is still faithful to God's promises, and God is using you and this church to be sure that people know about the Lord. And no matter where you are now, in this time of transition, as you begin the tentative steps to find a new pastor, whether you are feeling discouraged or tired or excited, or even like Abraham, a little bit flabbergasted at what you might hear God calling you to do, take heart in the promises and the faithfulness of our God. God isn't calling you or this church into something new without giving you a reason to trust him. God has been so faithful to this congregation through transitions and over time, through cancer and illness, through hundreds of confirmands who have stood in front of this congregation confessing their faith, to the hundreds of babies that have been baptized at that font, through financial strain and fledgling ministries, through partnerships with other churches and partnerships with other nonprofits, through crazy ideas like Turning Point and your amazing ministries, through 80 years of ups and downs, uncertainty, fear, fellowship, laughter, joy, God has been faithful to you as a congregation, and God has been faithful to this neighborhood through you. God has walked alongside you, in front of you, and even carried you when you didn't think you could go any farther. And like Abraham, God is not abandoning you now. Indeed, I believe that God is looking at you like he looked at Abraham, saying, I have something amazing planned for you. It might seem kind of crazy, but trust me. Even though God may not yet be making clear exactly what your future will be, God asks you to trust him in that future because he has already been faithful to you in the past. My prayer for this congregation is that one day future generations of Christians will look back at you and say about you what Paul in Romans said about Abraham, that they did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but were strengthened in their faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what God had promised. God has that power. And while that may not change the fact that the Phillies will not win the World Series this year, it does mean that you can move forward into this transition time, into your future with hope and with faith, trusting that God has put you here for a reason and with a purpose, and has the plan and the power to do what he has promised. So it's okay when you have those moments of impossible laughter, because our God makes the impossible possible every single day. Amen.